Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way. Podcast brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
We got them right where we wanted.
Primetime on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today, from this moment on, is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light. Ducks fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? Good Friday.
It is a good Friday.
Hello.
I think it's supposed
Hello,
to be
Mike.
Crappy this weekend, but right now...
How's everybody?
It's like 69 and sunny.
Is it really supposed to be crappy this weekend?
Yeah, I think
yeah, it's supposed to rain both days.
Yeah, what? I think we got like one... Saturday's like a 50%, and I want to say Sunday's like 60 or 70.
What?
Yeah. Sorry, man.
Not sure if you noticed, but it basically turned into fall overnight.
Yeah. Summer's gone.
I know. I was out there golfing yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I was unprepared for the... For the weather. You know, I just didn't even, I was like, oh man, I've been conditioned.
Yeah.
It's just been so nice. And so I threw on a jacket, but then I had shorts and I had the wrong shoes on and it started raining.
Yeah, threw you for
a loop. Like, what the hell?
That happened to me on Monday. So a lot of times if I have like an appointment in downtown, I'll just, I go urban hipster and I ride my bike. And same sort of thing. I've just been used to doing it for the last handful of months. So I woke up on Monday, had an appointment downtown. It was a little overcast, but I didn't think anything of it, and rode my bike on the way back.
Was the appointment for your ED?
Yeah. Well, small penis club, too. You know, it's kind of a...
Oh, they have that?
They have that. It's like... It's,
I wouldn't know.
It's right next door to the two of it. Why did you ask me for a referral card?
The two of it? Oh, what? No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. That was someone else. I think that was Mike. But yeah, on the way back, that was the gall darn monsoon. I mean,
we
it was...
And I have
miserable.
A very small one.
I even thought about like calling my kid and making her come pick me up. I mean, it just was an awful thing. But you're conditioned for it not to rain. And now
I'm not interested.
It's raining.
I have already proclaimed us the new San Diego.
Mm.
This can't happen.
I don't think that's going to work. I think it's supposed to rain all weekend.
Well, they say we're supposed to have a pretty mild winter, though.
Yeah. Is that El Nino or is that La Nina?
El Nino.
Yeah. We got mild. It's
It'll
coming.
Be great.
And you know what? If we get a hurricane or two, we can go out and kiteboard. I love some of the videos that are coming out of the people that are really not taking the hurricane very seriously out in the Carolinas. There was a video today of a guy kiteboarding out in the swells. And Mike, what do you think he's getting, what, 15 feet of air on some of these things?
At least. I mean, was flying.
It is insane. And the newscasters are like, now this is the sort of thing that we don't want to encourage, and yet they're showing it on the news. They're like, no one's going to be happy with this.
Was like the only guy out there?
He was the only guy out there. It was like a couple years ago when the one hit New York. It was really bad. They had like 10-foot swells, and the dude was out there on the jet ski. Today... huge waves. It looked awful out there. It was all gray and, you know, like 70, 80 mile an hour winds. And there was some dude out there on a kiteboard just having the time of his life.
I saw Mike showed us a video and I thought it was really funny of the hurricane news guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what channel it was, but one of the news guys.
It was
guys,
the Weather Channel.
I'm sorry?
It was the Weather Channel.
Okay, it was a Weather Channel guy.
Yeah.
And he's out there in the hurricane. And it's windy.
He's fighting the wind.
And it's raining. And he's got his windbreaker thing on, and he's got his hood up. And he's doing his bit with his microphone. And he's like standing there so hard, like he's making it look like the wind is almost blowing him over. And his report, he's getting through his report because he's got to report what's going on with the hurricane. And this is really unbelievable. And I may just get blown away. And then. On the right side of the picture,
two bros,
two people just walk by.
By the way,
like not having any trouble with the wind at all.
And by the way, wearing shorts.
Right.
just throwing on some Bermudas, having a little Jimmy Buffett, some flip flops, and they're just rolling
through.
They're
just strolling through.
Yeah.
Just walking real casually.
Yeah.
So the guy was faking.
Yeah, settle down, Francis, on the news there.
He was faking the wind being so strong. I mean,
I'd like to believe off camera, maybe they had a big fan that was blowing to make the jacket ripple.
What is that? What is that? Seriously,
ratings is what that is,
bro. That is unbelievable.
No one tunes in for hurricane coverage and wants to hear, it's not so bad out here. It's a little gusty.
Except that here's the thing: you're not the only one covering the hurricane. I can flip to any channel and see that same bit.
Well.
And but, none of them are struggling the way you are.
Well, that's why he's
Weather
getting,
Channel guy.
That's why he's getting the ratings.
They're all just standing there. And he's like, oh my God, it's blowing me over.
There was another guy that was out in his underwear today and had an American flag, and he was standing in the middle of the road bracing the hurricane.
Let me bring up something very unpopular.
Yeah, go for it.
Do we overcover the hurricane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Why do we do that?
Well, because what else are you going to cover?
How about the news?
When you're the Weather Channel, what the hell else are you supposed to cover?
No, I'm not saying the Weather Channel. The Weather Channel should cover the hurricane. I'm talking about like CNN or like you turn on like Good Morning America. They're all, it's like constant hurricane coverage.
Because I go back to it. What else are you supposed to cover? There's not enough news to fill 24 hours of news.
People love storms.
Yes.
People love, as sad as it may be, natural disasters.
There's enough news. They're just playing the hits. They're trying to get. It's just a ratings game.
Yeah.
We got to cover this.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm so like.
No one wants to hear that today something sensible in government happened. It's like, no, let's talk about the end of the world. It's fear. The news is like 90% fear mongering. The news is 90% you're going to die. And let me tell you how you're going to die.
Yeah. And they're also warning. This hurricane has dissipated some. I mean, it's been downgraded.
Yeah.
But it's dangerous because it's big. And it's moving really slowly, so the rain just is like constant.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of flooding and stuff, but at the same time, they really try to make that sound like, peril.
It's coming for you.
Oh, the peril.
Meanwhile, I got a guy. Look.
People are prepared, generally.
Except for the guy kiteboarding, although I guess he's...
Well, he's just an idiot.
He's an idiot, but...
A genius.
I would like to believe that if it really was the storm of the century, you wouldn't be kiteboarding out into it. Although I did see a fascinating one of them battening the hatches down on the zoo. Because I didn't think about that. But, what do you do?
The zoo animals.
Yeah, the zoo animals. So everyone was, they were, carting them other places. Well, and
isn't that why Florida has a big python problem? Because a hurricane hit python sanctuary or something, and they all got loose.
And now they can't.
And they can't wrangle them in.
No, and there's natural predators.
We talked about this while you were away.
Yeah.
You realize that those things are crossbreeding those snakes.
The pythons?
Yeah. Well, what was it?
Two different species of python that were crossbreeding. Yeah.
And what they were saying is
pythons.
That's what they called it.
That's
super python. And they said one of the species of course, loves the, the Everglades and that environment.
Yeah, the muddy waters.
But the other species loves higher, drier ground. And so now you're going to get those snakes who are going to venture. They're already venturing out of the Everglades and into your backyard.
Go right to hell. Right to hell, Florida.
You're dead.
You know what? Let's just chop it off, right? Let's get some charges and let's just send it. You know what? It's Cuba's problem now. Let's just ship that thing right off. Nip the tip and a little circumcision there and... Pull the skin up and sew it on.
What?
State circumcision. Just
God,
shop
that should
it.
Be deleted.
Because it's only a matter of time before the super python starts making its way inland, and that's no good.
Yeah.
There's also a video from the hurricane out there, which is really funny, where there's a guy in just his underwear with an American flag.
Yeah.
And Slayer's Raining Blood is playing in the background.
Yeah. And he looks
and he's fighting the wind.
And he looks exactly like the guy that would be listening to Slayer. He's got red hair. He's pasty. It's long flowing in.
But right as the drums kick in, he starts walking forward it was perfect.
Into the wind. Yeah. Like he's fighting it. He's got the flag flying. It's
trying
to get his moment.
You got to get some clicks, right? So you got to take advantage of the hurricane.
Got my click.
Yeah, the old hurricane. Stay safe out there, Carolinas.
I don't think it's that.
Well, there's a lot of water. A lot of water.
There's some flooding.
And it's moving so slow that it just keeps coming, and it's like, you know, Jason, these hurricanes, man.
I do know.
What a pain in the ass.
Yeah, good thing we don't have to deal with them. We just have to sit around and wait for the earthquake that's going to kill us all.
Yeah, I was being cocky with my buddy in Charlotte. I was like, hey, I'm getting ready to go play golf. Look at this. It's all sunny, and I shoot him a picture.
68. Just wait till the earthquake hits.
And that's exactly what he said. He said, all right, well, good luck.
Wait till the superquake hits.
I'll call you and see if you can climb out of that hole in the ground when there's the big earthquake, and you can come play golf with me.
Swallows you. You're at Langdon. All of a sudden, just the earth opens up, and bye-bye fairway.
All right.
Although, you know what? After the earthquake, you might be able to just walk right on and get a tee time wherever you want. You know, guessing that the golf will be fairly limited. Not a lot of people heading out. So if you're willing to brave the elements and, you know, some hazards, maybe, you know, out there on 17, might be good for you. Might be good for the golf game.
All right. So we've got Joey Harrington today. It's Friday. He'll be on with us 5:30. Tony Starlight's going to be in studio. He's coming in. Haven't seen him in a while.
No, it has been a while. He's got like an anniversary, right? Isn't it like a 25th anniversary that he's doing?
I don't know. He'll tell you.
Yeah. I think Tony always has something up
his
sleeve.
You know, I'm going to be in his show coming up.
Are you?
Uh-huh.
Doing what?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
September 22nd, Saturday night, I'm going to be out there.
Shouldn't you figure that out? That's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's next weekend.
Okay.
No, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he'll tell us tonight. I don't know what I'm doing, but...
Singing the hits, I'm assuming? I mean, you have a great collection
He said show up at 7:30 and, you
top
know...
Top and tails, I'm assuming?
He said, look nice, and you'll be presenting me an award. I'm like, all right, I'll be there.
The greatness that is Isaac Roth.
Give me some drinks, bro.
Yeah. Well, look, if I was being presented an award, there's only one man that I would want. The five-star man, Isaac Roth. Except the chances of me getting an award of some kind, not so much. Although, I did win the Perfect Day Drinking Award. So that...
You did.
That's something. Where the hell were you? That's what I want to know.
I think I was on the show, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, you had to do that.
So...
I took some time off there for a while. Didn't handle that very well.
So, okay. Joey, 5:30. Tony, 6. What else? And then, you know, outside of that, I have, I'm not going to tease that yet. I'm going to hold off.
You'll tease it later?
I don't know if we're going to do it.
Or are you thinking about the tease?
No, I was just thinking maybe we won't do this today. But, well, you know, I've been digging. Here's what I'll tell you.
Rob's teasing a tease. Now, yeah. That's a radio
promo.
This is
a tease of a tease.
Wow. The nexus of the universe.
And here is the tease of the tease of the tease. I will tell you when we were... No, I'm kidding.
He's giving you the tip.
I have been digging into the Major League Baseball of Portland stuff.
Oh, okay.
Been trying to figure out what the hell's going on there. And like kind of educating myself on, you know, what's, you know, like the steps and what all the hoops they have to jump through are and all this stuff. And I've got some stuff I'm compiling.
Is this because world knows Mike Barrett's not telling you anything?
Right.
Barrett continues to reject you.
He stiff arms me.
Yeah. Look, and quite frankly, at this point, I think it's kind of sad. It's like, you know, look, he's not interested. Right? He's just let it go.
But I've got some good info. And so, like I said, I don't know if that'll be today, but I want to, I don't know, let's talk about it.
Let's. Because our Oakland A's or our Tampa Rays.
They're both good.
Both good. Yeah. I'm done with expansion. Screw that. These teams are good. Give me the A's.
Let's start with NFL. The Seahawks have signed a very controversial figure.
Yeah, it's odd knowing that you're going to prison while playing linebacker.
And my Bengals are now 2-0.
Yours,
as I predicted.
I think that was me.
As the show predicted.
There you go. As the show called.
It is 3:15 on the Fan.
Brother, bro.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Don't bro me, please.
Hey, coming up, TCU playing Ohio State this weekend. We'll reminisce about that little rivalry. There's a little rivalry there.
Yeah, there's a history.
It's kind of interesting.
Some billboards are involved.
But first, a couple of National Football League items.
AJ Green is good.
Yeah, he is good, isn't he?
Hey, Atlanta, take note. When you have one of the best receivers in the NFL, throw him the football in the red zone. It helps.
Well, I think they're trying. It's just that, what is the number? Matt Ryan to Julio Jones in the red zone in the end zone.
Yeah.
Last two seasons, they're 1 for 20.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's unbelievable.
And it's not like Julio Jones is a small guy that's easy to cover in the end zone. Just he's like 6'6".
Maybe just throw him the ball like not out of bounds.
It's crazy.
The
ball has to be in bounds.
That is a really good idea. I wonder if anyone in Atlanta has thought about telling Matt Ryan that when in the end zone, it's a good idea to throw the ball where you can, I don't know, stay in the end zone.
Maybe that's an oversight. Maybe they just haven't thought of that.
It's possible.
They're moving too fast there. It's like, oh, yeah.
In
the end zone.
Yeah. I just love that. Dude, Julio Jones is like 6'6", and he's got like a 42-inch vert, and Matt Ryan throws it over his head every time. I mean, that's like you're throwing it over like your kid's head. I'm guessing you have to put that thing a good solid 9.5 feet up in order for him to not be able to go and get it.
Well, the Bengals have a pretty good little club.
Yes.
They're now 2-0. They beat the Ravens last night, 34-23.
Although what Mixon may need to have his knee scoped.
Hey, he's only out for 2 weeks, though.
That's well, he is having his knee scoped, and he's out for 2 weeks. But
oh, is because the report I saw said that he may have to have it. They're
going
to
have it
Saturday. Yeah, okay. Tomorrow. Is Saturday tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
Yeah. So I guess the 16th year is a charm for Marvin Lewis, right?
He's never won a playoff game there.
I know, it's crazy. This is his 16th year there.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
See, what are they, 0-7?
What?
0-7 in the playoffs?
Oh. Yeah, they've been. I don't know how many games.
I think it's 0-7.
And five for them?
Where they got Carolina, Atlanta, Miami, Pittsburgh, Kansas City.
Yeah, Carolina and Atlanta are on the road.
That's not easy.
And then Miami, Pittsburgh at home, and then they're at KC.
Yeah, it's a brutal run.
Yeah, so let's see.
You know, Nixon without a couple of them.
Let's see here. Oh, and Tampa Bay. They got Tampa Bay after that. Tampa Bay's good little club.
Yeah, we'll see.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
But the rest of that is, that's a tough go of it. It certainly is not a gimme schedule there at all. But people forget. I mean, Cincinnati, for all this talk that Cincinnati sucks and Marvin Lewis should be fired and Andy Dalton isn't any good, look at Cincinnati over the last handful of years. Cincinnati is good. Cincinnati is a playoff team on a regular basis. You know, last year it didn't work out for him, but it's not as if we make Cincinnati out to just be this awful team, and it's just not the case. And it hasn't been for a long time since Marvin Lewis has been there.
So 16 years, when did he start then? When would that be?
Well, 02? If you're counting this as 18 or the 19 season.
Oh, here it is.
2002?
Right,
yeah, 2002-ish.
Okay, so Dick LeBeau was the coach in 2002. They went 2-14.
Dick LeBeau was their coach?
Yeah. Marvin Lewis.
I don't remember that at all.
Marvin Lewis takes over. They go 8-8, and then 8-8, and then 11-5.
Yeah.
And they had some topsy-turvy years in there. There's a 10-6, but there's also a 4-11-1.
So is the year they went 11-5, by the way, that may have been the Carson Palmer got rolled up by Pittsburgh defensive lineman.
Yeah, they lost to the Steelers.
I still contend that if Carson Palmer doesn't get rolled up in that game, Cincinnati was good enough to win a Super Bowl that year.
Good ball club.
Yeah.
Good little ball club. So they followed that up 8-8, 7-9, 4-11-1, but then 10-6, and then they go back to 4-12. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
But then Lewis, from 2011 to 2015, he won 9, 10, 11, 10, and 12.
And they had the.
And then lost in every single playoff game.
Yeah, yep, they have.
Every one of them.
1, 2, 3, 5 four, in a row. 5, 6. So, yeah, what? 5 in a row and 7 total in his tenure there. And then the last 2 years have been uneven. They were 7-9 and 6-9. But again, there were some injuries that were mixed in there, but Cincinnati is not a bad ball club. And you look across the board there, and Burfict is going to come back, and he's one of the better linebackers in the league when he's not getting fined and suspended. They have a good defensive line and a pretty good secondary. And you look on the offensive side of the ball, there's weapons there. You know, Andy Dalton is a little bit of that Alex Smith, although I think that's giving Andy Dalton probably a little too much credit. But Andy Dalton is not the worst quarterback in the league, and Cincinnati can be a playoff team.
Such a ringing endorsement.
Well, I think
he's good. He's good when he's got enough around him.
Yes, exactly. He's a guy that cannot carry you, and at times he has to play better, and it's been a bit uneven. But during that stretch where they went 11-5, 10-5, 12-4, like you go back and look at Andy Dalton's numbers, they were pretty good. There were a couple times you're like, well, Andy Dalton's having a breakout year. And there was some regression there. And again, some of that has to do with injuries and what was around him. But Cincinnati, when fully healthy, is capable of winning this year, is capable of winning 10, 11 games and being a playoff team.
You know who has a better quarterback rating between Alex Smith and Andy Dalton career?
Career. Alex Smith started off so rough.
Yeah, it's Dalton.
Andy Dalton has a better one.
89.1, but Smith has been coming on strong. Last 4 years, Smith over 91 every year.
Yeah, and what's Dalton the last handful of years?
Yeah, this year, well, he's 108 this year, but 87 last year, 91, 106.
See, and that was
then his first 4 years were all kind of in the mid-80s.
Yeah, look, I totally get it. If you're Cincinnati, you would like to have a better quarterback. But it was the same thing with Kansas City, right? Kansas City moved on from Alex Smith after having a whatever it was, 90 whatever rating, because they thought there were some limitations there and they thought Mahomes would end up being the better player with the higher ceiling. And Cincinnati would do the same thing, you know, given the opportunity, but it's not as if you're super limited. You're not playing with one hand tied behind your back when you have Andy Dalton out there. I think he's just become one of those guys that's kind of fun to beat up. He's fun to make fun of. But the narrative doesn't really match what the performance has been for Andy Dalton.
All right, what are the Seahawks doing here now? They've got some injuries, the Seahawks.
Yeah.
They play Monday night. By the way, no-show Monday.
Well, you know, we had such success with no-show Thursday, no-show Friday. We're taking it into Monday.
No-show Monday because the Seahawks will be on here on The Fan, but KJ Wright is still recovering from knee surgery. You have Bobby Wagner, who's now on the injury report. You have Doug Baldwin on the injury report. DJ Fluker's on the injury report. Trey Flowers is on the injury report. They're already banged up, man.
Yeah.
And so they went out and signed Michael Kendricks today, 1 year deal, and they expect him to play on Monday night against the Bears. He's the linebacker who was formerly of the Eagles, and then he signs with the Browns, but then he gets popped for insider trading, and now he's facing 25 years when he's sentenced in December, and the Seahawks are like, screw it, we'll sign you, 1 year deal.
Well, it's 1 year.
Cleveland got rid of him.
Yeah, because they came out and did the whole, didn't tell us about it, and they tried to take some sort of moral stance.
Now, if he were, and he's good.
Yes, Michael Kendricks is good.
He is a good player, but I don't know, do the Browns do that if he's Miles Garrett?
No, of course, he's still sticking around.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's 100%.
And the Seahawks are desperate, so they're like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll take him.
Yeah, and you know, he'll be able to play this year. And by the way, he's not going to go to prison for 25 years, but he will serve some prison sentence.
You think so?
Yeah, he'll do some time. It was, what, $1.2 million?
Yeah, it was not.
No, and he'll repay it, but he's 27. Let's say he goes to jail for a year or two, pulls a Martha Stewart. He'll be back out, and he'll be under 30.
He'll be cooking in no time.
He'll be playing in the league. Yeah, he's not going anywhere. I'm looking to see his total tackles.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, you know, Philadelphia let him go. He's a Super Bowl champ, though. A couple sacks, 51 tackles.
Great little player.
Solo, 22 assists.
Yeah, great little player.
He's a solid player.
All right, well.
Plus, if you're Seattle, look, you need help.
That's what I said. Yeah, they're desperate.
You're desperate.
But we don't care that he's about to go to prison because it's insider trading, so no one cares about that. Like, if it were...
Because he's good at football.
Well, I want to know what the NFL's doing. Like, if this was a... When this happened, I read an article saying that the NFL's in this weird spot because with violence or, you know, like, DUIs or anything like that, there's policy in place where... You know, you're going to suspend you before your case goes to trial, you're sentenced or whatever. But there's really nothing in the CBA that talks about white collar crime. So they were talking about would they put him on the exempt list, kind of like what they did with Adrian Peterson and guys like that. It is weird that he is possibly staring 25 years in the face, and the NFL is going to allow him to play if you were convicted of another crime.
Right.
That where you were staring 20 years in the face, the NFL would not allow you on the field.
Yeah, they don't seem to care too much, maybe because they're all doing it.
It's possible. They're like, yeah.
Like, only 1.2? What an idiot. How he got caught, I don't know.
I just think it'd be weird, like, you're sitting around in the locker room, and you're like, hey, Michael Kendricks, yeah, you're going to prison. And you're just, you say the December sentencing?
Yeah, December.
So he gets sentenced in December. I wonder when he has to start serving that. What if you make a playoff run? Can you...
You really think he'll serve time?
Yeah, I do. $1.2 million? He'll serve some time. I don't think it'll be a lot, but he'll serve some time.
What if he does 8 days?
Who was the receiver that killed the guy down in Miami?
That'll show him.
DUI, remember that? Was that Dante Stallworth? Oh,
that was Stallworth. Dante Stallworth, yeah.
So Stallworth was drunk, but the guy, he might have been drinking too, as an older guy, but he was crossing the middle of a highway, and Stallworth hit him with his car, and Stallworth ended up doing like 3 or 4 days in jail for that. They ended up being like, look.
Yeah, which is nothing.
No. So I suppose Michael Kendricks could do... just do a couple days in prison, then let him out. I don't know what the sentencing is like, but I'm assuming from if the high end is 25 years, you're not going to get nothing. You got to get something.
Yeah, he's dealing with the feds. All right. Well, the Seahawks got him. While he's not in an orange jumpsuit, the Seahawks get to use him.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yeah. Go Seahawks.
I think they're going to lose to the Bears.
I do too.
They're dead.
I picked the Bears in this. I don't think they're dead. I don't think Seattle's as bad as people.
They're dead.
Some people say. But I kind of like what the Bears have going on. Plus, Seattle traditionally has not been a very good road team.
They're really dead.
Especially when traveling east, and they are very, very beat up. And I kind of like what Chicago's got going on a little bit.
A little bit? Only just a little bit?
Well, you kind of got to wait and see. But when you look at kind of the bones of that team, I think it's a pretty good foundation. But you know, I still don't know what to make of old Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah.
Seahawks are toast. The downfall has begun. And it's glaring.
Well, we knew this year was going to be a transition year. They just tried to spin it as it's going to be new and exciting. We're not going to be as bad as you think we are.
Nah, I don't know where that narrative came from. Everybody keeps saying that. I think they're just being homers.
Well, they're not good. Some of that is when you have a quarterback.
You got Russell Wilson.
There's always a belief.
That's nice.
And plus, it's not like the roster has been necessarily loaded the last couple of years. And Russell Wilson has been, I'd say single-handedly, but he's been a big reason why they've been competitive.
All right, let's take a look at TCU Ohio State. Believe it or not, there's a bit of a rivalry there. We'll get to that coming up next. Here's Mike.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, 3:37 on The Fan. TCU is playing Ohio State in Dallas at Arlington.
Test minus Urban Meyer.
Wait, what?
This is their actual test minus Urban Meyer.
So this is the last game Meyer's out.
Yep. And so he's able to coach like during the week. The only game that he wasn't allowed to be around the team was the Oregon State game, which clearly had a monster impact. And now he's been able to coach since then. He just won't be able to be on the sidelines.
So this one's in Dallas, very close to Fort Worth. You may know that as the Metroplex.
There you go.
So it's kind of a home game for TCU. But Ohio State, you know, those fans travel. So this should be pretty good.
I would think so. Look, I don't
TCU's
know.
TCU's ranked.
I don't know exactly what TCU has, but TCU year in and year out is a good football team.
Good coach.
Yeah, I think they have a great coach. In fact, I think Gary Patterson is one of the best coaches in college football and what he's built and taking that squad from a upstart, you know, BCS buster to, look, they're a top 25 team. And the one year, that was the year that Ohio State got in, but Baylor, TCU, they were knocking right on that door of being in the college football playoff. TCU is a legitimate contending team. So this is, you know, year in and year out, this will never be a cupcake. Ohio State will be the more talented team and should win. But if you don't bring your A game, TCU is capable of beating anyone in the country every year.
Fun fact. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Fun football fact Friday on The Fan.
It's a little clunky, but let's go with it.
The Big 12 has played a non-conference game in Arlington, Dallas's stadium,
yeah.
Cowboys.
Jerry World.
13 times. Do you know what the record is?
I don't think it's that good.
0-13.
They've never won one?
The Big 12 has played at Jerry's World 13 times in the non-conference and lost every one of them.
Ooh, because I just off the top of my head, I remembered a couple losses. So I was like, I'm guessing that can't be good. In fact, the first game at that place, do you remember what it was?
Oregon State, TCU.
No, the first game in Dallas.
Oregon, LSU.
That was Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, BYU.
And Oklahoma, that was...
Sam Bradford got hurt.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, I remember that.
Oklahoma was supposed to be like a national title contender. Sam Bradford was coming off the Heisman Trophy. And who the hell is BYU? And BYU blasting them down there.
Didn't Oregon State beat them there? I thought that game was there.
Oregon State beat who?
TCU?
No, TCU beat Oregon.
Well, then that would be a win for the Big 12 in Dallas.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, TCU beat the brakes off of Oregon State. But maybe that wasn't in Jerry's world?
I thought it was.
Well, I'll look that up.
I'm going to double check that. That stat came from Football Scoop on Twitter today.
Look and
they had
see.
That little nugget.
Because that was what? 2010?
Was it?
Well, that's why I just Googled Oregon State TCU and the game summary said September 4th, 2010. I wasn't as bad as I remember. It was 30-21. That was Andy Dalton and Ryan Katz. And I'm trying to see where the hell the game was.
Well,
searching.
They're saying 0-3. I'm reading it here. The Big 12 has not won a national championship since 2005, the second longest drought among Power 5 leagues, and has not played for one since 2009, a time frame that happens to coincide with the opening of the Big 12's own personal house of horrors, AT&T Stadium. The domed, massive state-of-the-art home of the Cowboys figured to be a home away from home for the Big 12, like the SEC has with the Georgia Dome and enjoys now at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. But the actual results have not been friendly. In fact, Big 12 teams are 0-13 in non-conference games at AT&T Stadium.
Let me ask you this.
The better you today text line is
Mountain West.
They were Mountain West.
Yeah, TCU wasn't in the Big 12 at the time.
There it is. Yeah, so that takes us to this deal with Ohio State. So, you kind of forget TCU was in the Mountain West. They were a mid-major, and they were a good one. And this goes all the way back to 2010, and this was an article on ESPN today. They said tensions between TCU and Ohio State date back to the backstretch of the 2010 season when Gary Patterson's undefeated Horned Frogs were trying to become the first team from a mid-major to play for a BCS championship. So that might have been the same year. Weren't we just talking about 2010?
Yeah, 2010.
Same season.
Same
later
season.
In that season.
TCU did go undefeated.
So then Ohio State president Gordon Gee took issue with TCU's candidacy when he called them a little. He said that they're only undefeated because they play the Little Sisters of the Poor.
I do remember that.
You do?
I do remember that.
I don't remember that
no,
at all.
I remember that shot. And I'm trying to remember who they went and beat in the Rose Bowl, but TCU went undefeated that year. Didn't get to play for a national title, but
they beat Wisconsin.
So they got Wisconsin. So they finished perfect that year.
So
They beat them 21-19 in the Rose Bowl. They beat number 4 Wisconsin.
Yeah, so Gee said, I made that quip, unfortunately, but of course I'm well known for making unfortunate quips.
And Gee's the guy with the little bow tie. You don't remember that when he stuck his foot in his mouth?
Well, no, not that particular instance. He was up there. Wasn't he up there the other day when the whole Urban Meyer crap hit the fan? Or is he gone? I don't know.
I think he might be gone.
Well, anywho, TCU stayed unbeaten. They went and beat Wisconsin, the team that beat Ohio State that year. And they beat him in the Rose Bowl. And so this guy who's a TCU fan and 8 of his friends put up 22 billboards in Columbus, Ohio. And they read, congratulations to TCU for their BCS Rose Bowl victory. And it's signed Little Sisters of the Poor and it's in purple. I did not know they did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking through that year too. Oregon State was ranked 24 when they went down there and played. So that year that TCU went was perfect and didn't obviously get to play for a national title. They beat number 24 Oregon State. They beat, at the time, believe it or not, Utah was ranked number 6, and then they beat number 4 Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. So during the regular season, their only two ranked opponents were Oregon State and Utah.
So they never knew who put those billboards up. There were 22
of them. That's got to be some change. Those aren't cheap to put up.
And they were like, oh man, it's got to be some rich, you know, T. Boone Pickens type guy at TCU or this and that.
Some oil money.
But they're only just now finding out that it's this, I don't know, his last name's Runyon. Him and his bros are just old TCU. They all met in college. They're all TCU fans. They're older now. They got a little money. And they're the ones that did it. So they wrote a feature on that on ESPN. It's kind of funny.
I think that's a great troll. You know, if you got the money, why the hell not, right? Put up some billboards. Give a little F you.
He also said there were all these people trying to take responsibility for it. And these guys were just sitting back laughing. These 9 guys are like, yeah, we did it.
Now,
but nobody knew it.
Now, what happened in 2010 with Ohio State?
That's a good question. I don't remember.
I'm looking to see what.
But, you know, too, here's another one in their whole, if you want to call it a rivalry, it's not. But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Their history. TCU dropped. So they beat Iowa State by like 52.
Yeah.
Whatever year that was. So that was the year Ohio State, I think, went on to beat Oregon in the championship game. That year, TCU was third going into the third in the college football playoff rankings because that was the first one. Remember?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And TCU was number three. They beat Iowa State by 52, and they dropped to sixth.
Yeah, they bumped them back down.
And Ohio State got in.
Yep, and Ohio State.
And Baylor got bumped down, too.
Yep.
And they beat a ranked team. They beaten Kansas State that week, and they both dropped, and then Ohio State jumps in. So there's a little history there with TCU getting getting bent over by Ohio State.
Well, maybe they got a little payback for them. And by the way, that 2010 season never happened for Ohio State.
I'm sorry. What?
Didn't happen.
What do you mean?
The 2010 never happened for Ohio State. I'm looking here.
Is that the Jim Tressel stuff?
That's the Jim Tressel stuff. It's all gone. It's been erased. But if you remember how awesome that was the year that they played Arkansas in the Sugar Bowl, and Terrell Pryor and all those guys were supposed to be suspended. But Ohio State made the argument that they had to play in the game because it was unfair to the people that wanted to watch them play and that had bought tickets. So they allowed all those guys to play in that game and then suspended them, I think, for the next year's like game one. They allowed them to play in the Sugar Bowl against Arkansas because it's what the people wanted. But that game, and they did win. They only lost the one game that year. They went 12-1. They lost to Wisconsin, but all those wins were vacated with the Jim Tressel stuff.
Big fan of that argument. It's what the people want.
I just remember that. Like,
I love that.
Like, yes, we will punish them, but we can't punish them for the bowl game because, well, people bought tickets and they want to see Terrell Pryor and the rest of those guys play.
Yeah, and some people are texting in. It's true. The story said that it was only $5,000. Between the whole, like, there's like eight or nine of the guys.
Totally.
It was only 5,000 because it was digital advertising and it was brand new. And so they didn't have a lot of advertisers lining up for those spots. They did 20 of them in Columbus.
Well played. Well played, TCU bros. Well played.
You got to love the old billboard trolls.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that going on.
But it would have been fun back then to see if some of those upstart teams could have, in a one game situation, knocked off, Boise State, Oklahoma, but Oklahoma wasn't one of the two best teams in the country.
Utah, Alabama
happened. I think that Utah team, one of those two, because they had DJ Williams was their quarterback at Utah when they beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. And then Alex Smith had an undefeated team that had to go play Pittsburgh, like in the Fiesta Bowl. And Pittsburgh was awful.
I remember that.
But those two Utah teams were really good, and so was this TCU team. I don't know if Boise up front, like the team that beat Oklahoma with like Zimbranski, I don't know if up front Boise State had it, but those Utah and those TCU teams were really good defensively and had good old lines. They couldn't have done it over the course of a season, but in a one game, I do think those three teams were good enough to beat an Alabama or an LSU or someone in a one-game playoff situation and win a national title, but no one would ever give him the shot.
All right, who is the next Herm Edwards? 3:48 on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, a little MLB to Portland talk at 4. And then we'll set you up for your survivor pool. Is the pick obvious this week in the NFL? It might be.
That's what everyone thought about week one.
Exactly.
How'd that go for you?
Exactly. So who is the next Herm Edwards? This was funny. I thought...
I love after two games. Smashing success.
It's kind of a joke. It's Tom Fornelli that's doing it. He's a fun guy to follow, CBS, but... He does a Friday Five every week, and this week he's like, you know what, I'm gonna rank the next Herm Edwardses. And so you have to have been a former NFL coach in the studio for the better part of the last decade.
What's Bill Cowher up to? Is he on that list?
He's number 5.
Okay.
Yep, Bill Cowher is number 5.
I've always said I thought John Gruden would be a better college coach than he would the NFL, but I don't know if he made that because he's back in the NFL.
I'm surprised Cowher never came back.
Well, it sounds like from what I've heard, you know, people talking about Bill Cowher is honestly, it came down to family. Like he's a miserable guy when he's coaching football. And
He had that self-awareness. Huh?
Yeah, and he had the self-awareness to realize
it. Like, screw it, I'm not going back.
Yeah, and he says that basically that doing the studio stuff allows him to get the football itch, but he just, life is so much better. He said, what was the, I heard a quote attributed to him, and I'll paraphrase it, but it was the, it sucks not having the wins. Like, that's something he misses, but not having the losses outweighs not having the wins. And so he lives a quiet life, I think, in the Carolinas with his family.
Super Bowl champ.
Yeah.
Number four, Tony Dungy. Also Super Bowl champ.
See, I could see that one. Well, Herman.
You could see him roaming a college sideline.
I could. Preaching his quiet strength of right. leadership.
Making the kids great young men.
Yes. I could see that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What if he'd convert and go coach BYU? Could we get him? Is that kind of seems like a good fit?
Ooh, that does.
Minus the whole Mormon thing.
Now, Dungy was good, right?
Yeah, Dungy
good
was
coach.
Good. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, he had Peyton Manning.
He did. But he was good in Tampa, never was able to get over the hump. But Gruden won a Super Bowl with his guys. And yeah, he had Manning. But look, I think Dungy is overrated. I find him to be a bit too much for me. But yeah, Tony Dungy is a good coach. Tony Dungy is a great coach. I just think
great coach.
Don't
you think the Peyton Manning thing makes him great? Like, Brian Billick won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Without a quarterback.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer. Tried to do it with Elvis Gerback. Didn't work.
Tony Dungy won a Super Bowl with one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah.
Who's better? Like, you could argue that a guy winning a Super Bowl without a quarterback is better than a guy winning one with Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because all you have to go on is record, and Tony Dungy's record is going to be way better. But to your point, he had Peyton Manning. I'll look and see what he did in Tampa, what his actual record was.
Number three.
Because he didn't have a quarterback there.
Rex Ryan. Now, I don't think he's been in the booth that long.
No, I don't think he has either.
Number two, Dave Wannstedt. That's a good one.
Well, he already coached. Like, he was at Pitt for a while.
Yeah, but he's been out of the game for a while.
Mm-hmm. He's not doing anything?
Well, we had him on Fox
Sports.
Oh, that's
right. We did have him on. And he's doing stuff.
Fox Sports.
Yeah.
Like with Leinart and all those guys.
Yeah.
I think he's still on there. And then number one, the new Herm Edwards is, can you guess?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
The next Herm Edwards.
Yeah, I got to be 10 years away from the game.
Football is football.
Football is football.
I don't know who you got.
Steve Mariucci.
The Mooch?
The Mooch.
See, people may forget this, but the Mooch was at Cal. The Mooch, the Mooch coached college.
He did.
I'd have to look up what he did in San Francisco. I know they went to the playoffs a couple times. But
in Detroit, too?
Yeah, he was in Detroit. I don't think they did much in Detroit, but no one really did much in Detroit.
His NFL record was 72-67. He had a winning NFL record.
Okay.
And then it's been over 20 years, but he was at Cal. He was there 1 year, and they went 6-7.
He was only at Cal 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And he coaches that, he does like those college all-star games a lot. Like, remember I don't know what they call them, the East-West game or the Hula Bowl.
Shrine game.
Yeah, Mooch is always coaching in those.
And he's on NFL Network,
NFL
right?
Network.
Mooch, there you go.
By the way,
let me
drop this on you here with the Tony Dungy thing. You have really, you've kind of spent my, or you got my mind spinning here a little bit with your whole Brian Billick, Tony Dungy thing. You've thrown me for a loop. So Tony Dungy with Indianapolis, right? 10-6, 12-4, 12-4, 14-2, 12-4, 13-3, 12-4, wins the one Super Bowl.
I think you mean Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning.
Yeah, so
Peyton
only Manning. 1 year there do they not win at least 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
Model of consistency. Goes and wins the one Super Bowl, and that was it. I think they only made it to the one because the second one they got to, that was Caldwell, I think.
Yes.
When they lost to the Saints. So Dungy only went to one Super Bowl. So when he's in Tampa, no Peyton Manning, 6-10, 10-6, 8-8, 11-5, 10-6, 9-7.
That's not bad.
It's not bad, but it's not great.
Who was his quarterback there?
They had what? Rob Johnson. They had Brad Johnson, Sean King, Trent Dilfer. He went through a bunch of them. That was kind of they had the rotating
what
cast.
What years was that?
96 through 2001.
Mm. You just missed him.
Yeah. I got there. My first year there, really my only year there, that I was there for any significant period of time was Gruden's first year, and they won the Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's guys. But they got rid of Dungy. They fired him because he wasn't able to do anything. He had lost, and here's the other one too, four straight playoff losses.
Really?
Yeah. He lost twice in the division and twice in the wild card. He went to the playoffs four times in Tampa and lost.
Did they fire him? I thought he stepped down.
I think he got canned.
Because Caldwell was like his right-hand man.
No, no, no. In Tampa.
Oh, you're talking about Tampa.
Yeah. Okay. In Indy, no one fired him in Indy.
He left.
Yeah, he left Indy.
And Caldwell came in and they went to the Super Bowl the next year.
Yeah, but he got fired in Tampa Bay.
Sounds familiar. Leaves Tampa right. Next year, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to make of that question.
It's like the Buck Showalter.
Well, look, dude.
Every time he gets fired, that team the next year wins the World Series.
Yeah, see, I think Buck Showalter's good, though. I think he's proven he wins wherever he goes. Although, don't look at Baltimore's record this year.
Well, that's not it. They were tanking.
But, you know, I just think that when you get a transcendent quarterback like that, mm-hmm. like is Mike McCarthy good? Is he really good, or is he with Aaron Rodgers? You know, Belichick's really good. He's proven that he's really good.
Yeah.
But that's why they've won so many is that you've got greatness as a coach and you've got greatness as a quarterback. And those two, it's like Walsh and Montana.
I'll drop to your
point. So if Dungy were great, that greatness plus the Peyton Manning greatness would have led to more Super Bowl titles.
So he had a winning percentage in Tampa of 556 and in Indy 759. So 75%, 55%. For about 66% for his career. I'm looking here at Billick, and Billick had...
had an elite defense.
He had an elite defense.
Dungy didn't.
So Billick went 8-8, 12-4, won a Super Bowl, 10-6, 9-7, 10-6, 9-7, 6-10, 13-3, 5-11. He's kind of got a Tony Dungy Tampa Bay record for his career, but with a Super Bowl. To answer,
there you go.
I don't know what to do with that, but to answer your question of is he a good coach? Yes. And
yeah, he's good.
He's good and he's elite. He's a Hall of Famer. Andy Reid, who has never won a Super Bowl, Andy Reid's better than the both of them.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And yet, I don't think if you asked just the average person better Tony Dungy, Andy Reid, I think everyone would be like, oh, Tony
but
Dungy.
What if Andy Reid got Peyton Manning all
this
year?
Yes, I think there's more I think there's more titles with Andy Reid and Peyton Manning than there would be with Tony Dungy.
I mean, it's not everything, but there's so much about being an NFL coach about who your quarterback is.
Yes.
And when you get Peyton freaking Manning's top five quarterback of all time, isn't he?
He's certainly in that conversation.
He's right there. So
was it a waste that you only won one?
A waste? No. Could have done more? Yes.
And Jeff Fisher, he just sucks.
Right.
Yeah. So we know that. So we've decided... Tony Dungy, good, bordering on great. Billick, good. Maybe in that conversation, but not quite Tony Dungy. Andy Reid, greater than, and right. Jeff Fisher, sucks.
Okay, we got to go. 402. We're way over. MLB to Portland talk next on The Fan.
Oh, God! Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.